If you ask the best in the world the single greatest secret to success, they'll smile and give a gentle laugh. You're asking the wrong question. Being extraordinary is not a single element. It cannot be distilled down to one thing. We're told that being a success is a magical thing that happens in a place you'll arrive. The hard part is that this long-held truth is the biggest lie. Extraordinary features humans that have reached the top of their field and become extraordinary humans. The door to being extraordinary is now open. Will you walk in?
Hey, what is up, everybody? Jeremy here. And guys, I am very excited for today's guest because I've followed him for quite a while. And I was actually introduced to him through Grant Cardone's Power Players, where I heard a really epic interview with him today. Today's guest is the MF CEO. Andy Frisella doesn't just want to win, he wants to dominate. He's the CEO of First Form International, was named Entrepreneur of the Year in 2016, and he's been featured in Forbes, Inc., as well as keynoting events like 10X Growth Con. He's also an enthusiast for badass cars. You can find out more about him over at www.andyfrisella.com. Welcome to the Create Your Own Life podcast, Andy Frisella.
What's up, Jeremy? It's good to talk to you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, man. I'm stoked. You're like doing some big things out in the world, and it's always a pleasure of mine to get to learn from people like yourself.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely. So before we dive into it, I got to ask, because I know I was looking at a lot of the pictures on your website and stuff. If you got to pick one car, which one is it?
I got a 1970 Chevelle Super Sport. For sure. That's like my dream car, man. That's been the car that outside of my Aventador, my white Lamborghini, and the Chevelle, the rest of the cars, you know, I'm not emotionally attached to. So, but that black Chevelle, is definitely where my heart is, for sure.
Well, there's nothing like those old American muscle cars, man. There's nothing like it. My dad had an epic Trans Am back in the day.
Yeah, dude, you sound old when they say, oh, they don't make them like they used to, you know, they just don't. And, right. You know, to me, the American muscle, the feel, the way it looks, you know, the quirks that it has, all those things. I mean, if you're a true car guy, you get it. You know what I mean? It's not a super expensive car. It's just my favorite car, you know?
Yeah. We're in the process here of actually restoring a 1980s Porsche 911. So that's kind of been a really, really fun project to get that thing moving.
Yeah, dude, those the air-cooled Porsches are big right now. Everybody's getting into those. I had one just recently, but I sold it.
Ooh, awesome. Well, we study some of the highest performers in the world, Andy, people that are really doing things on another level, just like you're doing at First Form. So let me ask you, man, what's your story?
It's not that glamorous, to be honest. You know, if you look on social media, it looks a lot more glamorous and cool than it really is. I'm just a regular dude, man. I grew up in South County, St. Louis, Missouri, and I did all the things little entrepreneur kids do. I sold baseball cards. I sold snow cones and lemonade and light bulbs door to door. And I always knew that I was going to be an entrepreneur because I didn't have any interest in anything else. I was always interested in business. And as I grew up, I did a number of different things and failed at all of them, learned a little bit. And then whenever I was getting out of high school, the options were to go to college, which I did for a semester. And then I transferred down from St. Louis University to Southwest Missouri State in Springfield, Missouri. It's now called Missouri State. And we started, my business partner and I started a sports supplement retail store. We had $12,000. We had to pay the landlord up front.
Oh, gosh.
A year's rent up front. Which was $1,000 a month. So that took up, because we didn't have credit, we didn't have anybody to sign for us or back us up. So we were left with an empty space, and we had to fill it with product and shelving and all the things that a store would need. So we went out, we got these pre-approved credit cards, and we financed the whole build out and our inventory on these credit cards. And we started a retail store for sports nutrition products. And the shelves we built from materials we got at Home Depot, we lived in the back of the first store. And that's how we got started in business.
Wow.
Yeah, man. It's just, it's as humble as you could possibly, humble beginnings as you could possibly imagine. our first day in business, we sold $7. We had one guy come in. His name was Nick Vespa. I still remember his name. Actually, still a friend of ours. And then the second day, we sold nothing. The third day, we sold $23. And then Chris and I, you know, we looked at each other and we're like, holy shit, what did we get ourselves into? And we started realizing it wasn't going to be as easy as what we thought. You know, we thought we were going to open a business and we were going to be just millionaires. And it wasn't that way. So it took us 8 months to have a day over $200 in sales. And it took us 6 years to get our second store open. And that's how we started, man. It was we didn't know anything about we literally knew nothing about the business. Like, I can remember the first time a customer came in and asked about a product that I knew nothing about. Like, I can remember the product. The product was, it was called CellTech. It was made by a company called MuscleTech. This guy came in, he wanted to buy it. He's like, what's this? How's this? And I'm like, I don't know. So I handed him the bottle, and then I picked up a bottle on my own and I started reading him the label. And like, that's literally how we started the business. So it was very, very, very primitive and basic and humble. And I wouldn't change it for anything, because that's where I really learned what entrepreneurship was about.
Mm. And I think of that first product too. You wouldn't have been wrong if you said, hey, it's a CellTech product. They just put creatine in everything they make.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. And then they run a science study on it and say that, you know, you take this protein powder and you're going to gain 9 pounds, but they don't tell you that the protein's loaded with creatine, you know, but whatever, man, it's creative marketing. But those guys, you know, that's how we started, man. It was I remember it like it was yesterday. And we didn't have any money. We didn't have anybody backing us, and we didn't have any knowledge. You know, for us to get customers, we couldn't afford to advertise. So we went door to door through Springfield, Missouri, telling other people at their businesses, like, hey, I'm Andy. We own Supplement Superstore right down here. It's 1709 South Campbell, right next to Bass Pro. We're right next door to the original Bass Pro. We still have that store, by the way, and the shelves that we built are still in there. We fucking made it happen, man. And like, that's something that I think the level true entrepreneurs will always do. They just do whatever the fuck it takes. Mm-hmm. And that was us. And like, a lot of people like to say all this shit right now, you know, it's popular to hear grind and hustle and do whatever it takes. You know, every guru has their own little saying, but the truth is like, whatever it takes is really whatever the fuck it takes.
Yeah.
And most people don't understand that. You know what I mean? Like, it's literal.
Well, let me ask you this then, Andy. So how do you go from having, you know, one location, you know, you're just making it happen, to having the brand you guys have now, which I love, by the way. I've heard you talk about there was nothing really interesting behind the name, just that you want to show up first on the list online.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we had our retail company in 2006. We opened our second store, and then we had an opportunity to take over some failing stores in St. Louis, Missouri. So we had two stores in Springfield, and then we took over four stores in St. Louis. So we had six stores. So we went from two to six, and all the employees with it. And, you know, we still didn't know what the fuck we were doing. That's the truth. we had a lot of time, man, because we didn't do a lot of business. So we had a lot of time to talk. And just like a lot of other people, you know, we talk about, well, if things were different, we'd do it like this. And Chris and I would have these conversations for literally every day for hours a day, because sometimes we wouldn't even see anybody. Like, we still had days in 2006 and 2007 where we would see no customers. So business wasn't like going crazy. We were just reinvesting everything that we had into it. Mm. With the hope that we would figure it out. And we would always talk. We'd say, look, man, you know, this company's doing this good, but they're doing this wrong. And this company's doing this good, but they're doing this wrong. Like, talking about other people's products that we sold in our stores. And so we would analyze all the companies, and we would, you know, Chris and I would sit down and talk about, you know, what was good and what was bad about all of them. And, you know, we always say, well, if we started a company, we would do it like this, we would do it like that, we would do it like this. Well, in 2009, we had opened a couple more stores by then, I believe. We had the retail going a little bit. I still hadn't really figured it out, but I did know a lot about the products that we sold. And so I got asked by a company to consult on a protein powder for another company, which happened to be Target. I came to the manufacturer and I said, hey, you know, I'll help you figure this out, because what they had was real bad and they weren't able to sell it. And they said, well, Andy, can you come in and tell us what's wrong with this product? You deal with all these other products, you know, you're probably gonna have a good idea. And I tasted the product and I was like, yeah, this is junk. It's never gonna fucking sell.
Andy, yet. I don't know whoever came up with any fruit punch flavor out there, but it doesn't quite taste like fruit punch.
No, yeah, it's just that's a really hard flavor to do. But like, this was just chocolate, man. And it was terrible. And I told the guys, I said, hey, this sucks. That's why you're not selling it. And they all kind of laughed because it was like real corporate. And I'm like, I'm not joking. Like, this sucks. It's never going to sell. And we worked together and we fixed the product and they started selling it. I got to be friends with the guys at the manufacturing plant. And so I asked them, I said, hey man, have you ever thought about like manufacturing protein powder? And they were like, well, no. And so we worked together to create a system that they agreed to do small runs for us. We used to pick up the small runs in the back of our pickup trucks and we would take them to our retail stores and dude, nobody wanted them. Like nobody wanted to buy it because they knew it was our product. They were like, well, how the fuck did you guys make this product? You guys aren't chemists. You guys aren't this, you guys aren't that. And people had all these reservations about, you know, using the product. And so it didn't sell. But I knew if we could get people to taste it, it would sell because dude, it's good. Like the best. And so we started doing live tastings in the stores and people liked it. We started moving it and, you know, it just grew in, it just grew and grew and grew and grew. And, now here we are, you know? So that's kind of how it started. We certainly didn't have anybody to help us and we certainly didn't go through, you know, any other special school except for the school of fucking getting your ass kicked for 10 fucking years. And, you know, that's what we did. And, you know, that's what we still do, man. Like people look at our company and they're like, oh, you guys are doing $200 million plus in revenue. Yeah, but it's still shit every day that we fuck up, you know, and people don't realize that. Like, that's why I believe success is such a matter of just endurance. Like, what are you willing to take? What are you willing to put up with? How many disappointments can your heart take? You know, how many times can you get fucking stomped emotionally and get your dream stomped and still keep going? And I think that's the biggest dream or the biggest asset to success is endurance. Because the truth of the matter is that everybody in the beginning, when you're starting a business, no matter what it is, there's a million fucking other people just like you that have the same idea. They're trying to start that business. And as you go and put years in, you know, when you get to year five, half of those people have fucking quit or three quarters of them quit. So now you're competing against less people. All right. And you have 5 years of knowledge that you've gained. All right. So it's easier to win. So then you go 10 years and then half of the people who were left at 5 years are now gone. And now you have five more years of knowledge and you're that much more skilled and you're able to compete at a higher level and you have momentum. And dude, that's just the name of entrepreneurship, man. You know, everybody likes, I'm telling you, that's what it is. I mean, all my friends that are successful, they'll all say the same thing. If you get them like one-on-one, that's what they'll tell you.
Well, let me ask you this, Andy, because I saw a post you put up. I think it was either this morning or it was yesterday. And it was you on the couch with your dog a number of years ago. And you said that, you know, nobody understands what you had to do to get through those times to where you are now. So I guess my question would be like, when it got really tough, man, what did you hold on to get yourself through those times?
Dude, I didn't have any other options. You know, my only option other than succeeding was to go work fucking construction and do foundation work because that's what I was qualified to do. And that's what I had experience doing. And I don't want to do that. Like if you've ever done that, it's a very hard job. And I respect the hell out of anybody that earns a living that way because it's one of the hardest things that you could ever do. And it just wears you out. And I just wasn't willing to do that. The funny thing is like, I think this is going to lend to the answer of this question is that about 10 years in my business, you know, I always wanted to be wealthy, dude. I wanted to be the guy with the yacht and the fucking airplane, all that shit. I still want all that shit, but like I wanted it. That's all I wanted. I didn't care about how I got it. And about 10 years in my business, I came to a crossroads. You know, we had just started doing a little manufacturing, we were contracting manufacturing at that time. And we just kind of, the stores were doing okay. And I was like, man, you know, like we're not making any money doing this. We're not doing my life isn't becoming what I wanted it to be. And so I had a little crisis for a few months where I was like looking for other things to do that would allow me to make the money that I wanted. You know, like I was looking at other business ideas and this and that. And I came to the realization that like all the shit, other shit that I could do to make money, I didn't want to do because I didn't like it. Like I didn't like it. And I know I say a lot of times, if you listen to my podcast, a lot of times you're going to have to do shit you don't like to do. But that shouldn't mean your whole mission in life is something that you don't want to do. And I just didn't want to do the things that I could do to make money. And I started thinking about what I really liked, like what I really like to do. And what I really like about our business is that like you can change people's lives. Like people come in, even back in the day when we only saw a few people, we would have people that would come in, they would listen to you, they would get results, and they would come back 6 months later and you wouldn't even recognize them. And they would stand there crying and they would tell you how much their life is better. And dude, that's the shit that I loved about our business. I loved it. And I made a decision about 10 years in, like when I was going through this crisis, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't care if I make a lot of money. I just want to help people do this because I liked it. And dude, you know, honest, like that was the point. That was the point where you never look fucking back. Because once I went back to my business after going through this little crisis and focused on getting people results and helping people and giving them the education and the tools they need to change their lives, dude, our business fucking exploded. Mm-hmm. And we doubled in business for 5 years straight in one of the worst economies ever. And that's been the key to our success. Like people think that's, you know, when I say that, they think it's like oversimplification of success, but success is fucking simple. Provide a fucking valuable solution to people's problems. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And dude, that's if when it, you know, when I made the decision to consciously go back and say, dedicate myself 100% to teaching our guys and our employees and our culture and build it all around helping people, dude, we fucking exploded. And that's all I can tell you. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what's interesting, Andy, is like I feel like the more like high performers and more people that perform at an incredible level that I talk to, there seems to be this like this moment when they go from just worrying about self to worrying more about others. And actually because of that, because they're being, I guess, more survival for other people, they're actually seeing themselves do a lot better. And that seems to be that it's not really a secret to success, but when you focus on others, you actually start to do really, really well.
Dude, you know what? And that's such a hard, you're right, by the way, but that's such a hard concept for people to understand, because when you're starving, dude, and you're eating fucking ramen and you're living in the back of your store like I did, and you don't have money to pay your bills like I didn't. And dude, it's hard to buy into that, that what the ideal that we're talking about here. You know what I'm saying? Because you're desperate. You're desperate for that $20 sale. You're desperate for that $10 sale. And so, dude, all you can think about is getting that $20 and that $10 so that you can go out and get a fucking hamburger. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like when you're in that position of desperation, which all entrepreneurs go through in the beginning, it's hard to fucking buy into what we're talking about. And I understand that, but you have to, because if you don't make it about other people, they're not going to make it about you. And that's the truth.
Sure. So Andy, let me ask you, like, in terms of like, I guess running your business at $1 million annually versus, you know, where you're at $200 million now, like what is the difference, I guess, in day to day for like your attention? Like, how do you kind of manage yourself and what you're doing so you can help your company grow?
I mean, back whenever we were doing a million, I think we did our first $1 million year in 2010. I think that it might have been 2009. I'm not sure. One of those years. But the point is like what I had to deal with at that point was basically coming up with the strategies and the techniques and coaching our guys directly with my hands on them every single day, you know. And it was just more of a, it was actually a lot more fun back then, to be completely honest. Cause I got to spend time in the store with the customers and do what I actually like, which is talking to people about improving themselves, and helping them with that. And that's the best, do I tell our guys, that's the best fucking job in our company. And I mean it, because dude, getting that face time with those customers when your intent is to help them is the most rewarding thing you could ever do. But like today, you know, like how I do it today, you know, I've got multiple companies. So I've got to come in and, you know, I work out in the first thing in the morning. I sleep pretty late. I stay up late and sleep late. So like, I don't go to the gym until like 10 o'clock, 11 in the morning. That's like morning for me. I'm up till like 3 every night or later, but I come in, I go to work out. I come into our office. I stop in Chris's office, who's my business partner in both companies, talk to him about, you know, anything that we need to talk about, which usually isn't that much, because he's got his shit together and he's a great partner. And then I go into Jason's office, who is my right-hand guy, who has been for 12 years. And I say, hey, what's this? What's that? And we kind of get, you know, whatever needs to be addressed on track. And I spend like, you know, an hour in Chris's office, an hour in Jason's office. And then I go into my brother's office, which is my brother, Sal, who is the vice president of operations for First Form. He basically runs day to day. And we talk, you know, hey, what we're going to do for, we talk macro stuff, you know, what are we going to do for the next 6 months? We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. And we spend an hour there. And then, and then I come in and I talk to Vaughn about, what we're going to do with the podcast and personal branding stuff and Arte stuff, like with what we do with Milette. And you know, dude, after that, usually I record a couple podcasts or whatever we're doing. And then the rest of the day, I fuck off. That's it. That's the truth. Yeah. By fuck off, I mean, like I spend time with my employees. Like I go, like I walk through my office, sit down with, you know, cause a lot of these guys have been with me for 10 years. They're my friends. You know what I mean? Like, so I sit down with them, talk to them, and, you know, and then I go next door to another building and I talk to those guys, and that's it, man. I mean, it's a lot different than what people think. You know what I mean? People like to portray on the internet, like I'm fucking grinding 27 hours. Dude, if you're grinding 27 hours a day, you don't have the fucking skills to be an entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't have to do that. I've never had to do that. Have I had to work hard? Absolutely. But dude, my work hard is also work effective. And that's the thing that people don't understand. They don't understand that, like, it's not about the hours, dude. It's about what you produce. If you can work 1 hour a day and get all your shit done, good for you. You know what I mean? But there's this badge of honor about like how much you work.
Sure.
And it fucks with people's heads, man.
So let me ask you then, Andy, because you're talking a lot about the people around you and you know, how you work with them and things like that. So I guess for you, like, how do you, you know, select the right person to be on your team? Because that can have like totally the right results for your business if it's the right person.
Dude, that's all culture-based shit. So like, our culture is built by design. It's not an accident. And it's through the skills I've learned over the last 20 years. And so like the key is that you've got like, this is a big answer to a small question. Most people think it's as simple as like looking at someone's resume and then like, you know, is this person skilled? Yes. Can they do the job? Yes. Blah, blah, blah. Hire them. Okay. And that's not effective anymore. People don't want to work and be a fucking number on a spreadsheet. They want to be a part of something. So what we do is we work really hard to build our culture, and we feed our culture, and we water our culture, and we take care of it. And we live by certain values here, and certain people align with that and certain people don't. But what I do is I let my guys fucking hire people, because they're the ones that have to work with them. They're paid off performance. So they know if they hire somebody who sucks, okay, that they're not going to get paid. And then I let them teach them how to do the job, because let's be real, dude, 99% of what you're going to learn at any job is going to be learned on the job. So it's not so much about like their skills. It's about, can they learn? Do they align with our culture? Are they people that are going to fit in? And dude, that's how we do it. We train people here. Like I've got guys that do graphic design that started out here packing boxes. You know what I mean? So it's a lot different than what most companies do. A lot different.
Absolutely. Well, Andy, I guess if you had to take a look like at yourself and I guess like a certain habit maybe you've worked on the most, like what would you say is the biggest daily habit you've worked on creating in yourself?
Man, I don't know. Over the last 2 or 3 years, it's been training every day. I let that part of my life go, my physical fitness go. And then over the last, you know, in 2016, I lost 110 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, the last 3 years, that's been my main priority. Like, I'm not getting fucking fat again. And I was miserable. I was unhappy. And I had tons of money and do whatever the fuck I want. But, dude, and that's why I don't buy into that shit where people say, oh, you know, love yourself. And no, dude, you love yourself if you do the fucking work and earn it. And, dude, that's just been something I'm not willing to compromise on. So no matter where I am or where I go or what I do, I train every day. Mm. That's a huge habit for me. I can't think of something that's been more important. Because, dude, when you're in shape and you're healthy and you feel good, you're way more effective at everything else. It's just it's just the way it is.
Yeah. I've been a competitive powerlifter for years, so those things always stay in my regimen. You know, the cold shower first thing, the workout first thing, because then the rest of your day is going to be right, man, if you got your body right.
Yeah, dude, that's it. And like, you know, like if you fucking look good, if you like, you know, people say and they don't believe it. They say, like, dude, if you look good, you perform good. If you feel good, you perform good. It's the truth. The years I've been in the best shape of my life are the years my company's grown the most and the years I made the most money. That's the truth.
Sure.
There's just so many more aspects to it that we could talk about. But, you know, that's been the biggest one for me, because for about 3 or 4 years, I was the guy making the excuse like, oh, I'm so busy. I can't fucking work out anymore. I'm just going to go home and eat a pizza. You know what I'm saying? And then I looked in the mirror and I'm like, fuck, you look like shit, bro. and that's it. You know, like I had to change, man. And, you know, and this is a good lesson in being resourceful too, because I use that transformation to fuel what really is one of the biggest revenue drivers for our company and culture drivers, which is our transformation contest that we do for First Form now. Because I basically said, like, hey guys, guess what? I'm fucking fat and so are you. And we're going to work out together this year and we're going to get in shape. And you know what? A whole fuckload of people did, including me. And it was really cool to turn something that was really something I needed to do into something that would be effective for business as well. You know what I mean?
Sure. So Andy, what's one thing you believed at 21 that you don't believe now?
Man, that's such a good question. I've never been asked.
Well, it's funny, man, because like you have more life experience, you have more business experience, and like your viewpoints just shift.
Yeah, that's a great question. Fuck, I don't know, man. Dude, I got to tell Vaughn's sitting here. So like he asked what something I believed at 21 that I don't believe now. That's a good question. Dude, I would say a couple things. One, I believe that like a lot of young 21-year-olds believe that you could make $1 million and become a millionaire fucking quick. You know what I mean? And second of all, I believe that $1 million is a lot of money, which I don't believe anymore. I know it's not, because I fucking see how much I got to spend to even keep this business going. So I would say that how quickly you could be successful was definitely different then. I don't know. That's not a great answer, though. Fuck, man. I think you stumped me.
Wow. I stumped Andy Frisella. Like, I win, man.
Yeah, dude. I think you did win. That's a great question, man. You know, when I could tell you a couple things. Like one thing someone told, like everybody used to see back whenever I was becoming an entrepreneur, it wasn't fucking cool to be an entrepreneur. Okay. And everybody fucking, you know, your parents, your uncles, they're like, oh, dude, they used to always say to me, well, you guys still got that little vitamin shop down there in Springfield? Like, that's what they would fucking say. And like, they would say, when are you going back to school? When are you going to get a real job? When are you going to do this? And, you know, when you're young and these are people who you've been told to look up to your entire life and they're telling you this shit, it's very easy to believe that they're right. And I would say that when I was 21, I used to believe that you needed fucking people's approval to be successful. You needed their belief to be successful. You needed them to see your vision and agree with it to be successful. And I would say that 1,000,000%, that was bullshit. 1,000,000%. You don't fucking need anybody's permission. You don't need anybody's vision. You don't need anybody to approve you. And guess what? If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you don't need a fucking degree either. You know, all that shit that they told me that I believed at the time. And the only reason I didn't quit when they told me that shit is because I couldn't. You know, I didn't have a place to go. I didn't have a backup plan. And that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
I think it's great to never have a backup plan. You know, it forces you to stick with it.
Well, I guess for not even having an answer to that, man, that was the opening soundbite for this episode. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. It's just hard, right? Like entrepreneurship's fucking hard. Right now, it's cool on the internet. It's cool to post motivational quotes and fucking hashtag entrepreneur. That's cool right now. When we started entrepreneurship, it meant you were a loser. It meant that you were going to be broke. You know what I mean? It's just a totally different cultural shift. You know, right now, I feel like kids, you know, if they say, oh, I'm going to start this fucking thing, you know, everybody's like, oh, that's so cool. Fuck, it wasn't like that for us, man. They're like, damn, you guys are going to be broke. You guys are losers, you know? And I'm glad that that happened to us because, you know, now, like, it taught me to listen to me. It taught me to believe in me. And now I don't have to have people's approval. I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks, okay? I care about what my partner thinks. I care about what people – there's a few people I respect in business that I will ask questions about or two and say, hey, what do you think of this? And get their feedback. But outside of that, maybe five people on this earth, I don't fucking listen to anybody. I listen to myself. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So – and it's a hard thing for a young person to get, you know, and to grasp.
Yeah. Well, I know even for myself, like this journey started 7 years ago and I was the first person in a family of, you know, 60 first cousins and 100 second cousins to go to college. So like when I didn't do what I went to school for, everybody in my family freaked out because like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah, right. Right. Because you're breaking their expectations of what the box they put themselves in. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's just a difficult thing, man, because you love your family and you love the people around you. But and then when they tell you like you're doing something stupid, dude, it fucking hurts, you know. And I think there's a lot of people who fail to become what it is they want to become because they listen to people that they shouldn't fucking listen to.
Well, Andy, just as we're kind of winding down here, if you had to look at, you know, everything you've done in your career and just decide what your biggest skill set is, what would you say that is, man?
I think my biggest skill set is not having to have the right answer, but selecting what is the right answer. I think that's a skill that a lot of leaders mess up because they think that they should have always the right answer. You're not always going to have the right answer as a leader. Sometimes you're the guy who sweeps your floor is going to have the best fucking idea for your company. Your job is to decide which one is the best. And that's a skill that very few leaders possess. I would say also that skill accompanied with my ability to sort of see around corners that other people don't see yet strategically, I think is something that I do well at. Other than that, dude, I'm surrounded by great people. You know what I'm saying? I've got great culture. I've got great people in all my companies that I truly love and respect. You know, even the people who have left our companies and gone on to other things. My goal is to develop people, man. And it, like I've trained today with a buddy who worked for me for 9 years and he left. And when he left, it was a hard thing. It was a hard thing for me because he was my friend, but now he went out and started his own company and he's doing not what we do, but he's doing something else and he's fucking crushing it, dude. And I worked out with him today and I got to hear all about it. And dude, there's nothing better than contributing to other people, man. It's just the most rewarding shit that you could ever do. My goal is to develop people so that even if they don't stick here, they figure out their way and become successful.
Absolutely. Well, on the other side of that, Andy, what's the biggest thing you struggle with?
I would say I struggle with keeping my emotions in check when I'm angry.
Mm.
Like I care so much that it's easy for me to get upset and stressed. You know, that's something I've been working on for a long time. You know what I mean? So I would, you know, the business shit I don't really struggle with it anymore. I don't struggle with like, am I going to make it type feelings? I know I'm going to fucking make it.
Sure.
I think the biggest thing is definitely, you know, controlling my emotions when I get upset about things and understanding that not every person sees the world the same way that I see it when it comes to a leadership role. You know what I mean?
Totally. Well, Andy, just as we're kind of winding up here, man, if we could look at your legacy and everything you've created in your career and we're far in the future and we can sum that up with a quote in your tombstone, what does that look like?
Man, I don't know. That's like a, I don't know. Like, I don't really feel the need to be recognized past death or any of that shit, like legacy and all that. Like, my legacy is going to be the people that I help, you know, through my podcast, the MFCO Project, and through our companies develop. And like, there's that quote, it's amazing what you can accomplish when nobody needs the recognition, you know? And like, I don't need the recognition to feel good about it. So I don't know. Like, my tombstone will probably be blank. Just have my fucking name on it, you know? And that would be fine with me. I don't need that kind of recognition. I need to know, you know what I mean? I don't need other people to know it. I know that's a weird answer, but it's just how I feel.
No, I totally get that. Well, Andy, I really, really appreciate you hanging out with me today, man. For those people listening, if they want to connect with you, if they want to learn more, where is the best place to go?
AndyFrisella.com. So it's AndyFrisella.com. And then also I do a lot on Instagram. And then obviously the podcast is where I do most of my personal development content. It's, you know, we've been top 10 in iTunes for 3 years straight, which is unheard of. So it's doing really well. You guys should definitely listen up.
Very cool. Andy Frisella, thank you so much for hanging out with me today on the Create Your Own Life podcast.
All right, Jeremy. Thanks, brother.